So welcome to the episode 9 of Tea with CTB. We are back with yet another episode with Mohit. Hello Mohit, how are you doing?
Hello sir, we are back again. Chels are back, yeah. Everything is back. Good to be back.
Yeah, we have Karthik Nair with us, the FPL leader, top scorer right now in the league. How are you doing, Karthik?
Very well, man. Thanks a lot. FPL top pe nahi hu yaar, I'm third in the league, but theek hai, I'll take that. Thank you for that. Yeah. And it's good to be back and good to see Chelsea playing again. So yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, and we have one special guest with us. Apart from all three, to hum to teeno hamesha hi rehte. But we have one special guest with us. He's an analyst in football world. Hello, Gunjan. How are you doing? He is Gunjan
Kochhar. Hi, Ritirash.
Yeah, how are you doing, bro?
Thanks for inviting me, man.
Yeah, how do you feel about getting into and recording of a podcast as an analyst?
Yeah, it's really special because I used to do it before on my own with a couple of friends, but I just discontinued it. But it's good to be back. You know, talking about Chelsea is always special. So I'm wearing a kit right now. I didn't know it was just audio. Wow. So I was actually fully prepared, but it's okay.
Wow, that's some enthusiasm for a podcast.
F in the chat. Yeah, so even though it's not live, but still F.
Okay, so yeah, how did you go on to become an analyst from a football fan? How was your journey? Like, how did that happen?
So I actually watched my first football game in 2006. Okay, and since then it was always there. You know, I wanted to do something related to football. I played it for my college, but you know, so. Padhai and all my wapis was up. It got all messed up. So later on, when I got a chance in 2017, you know, Sportskeeda at that time was a free press sort of thing. You could submit your articles and they used to publish it if it met to their requirements. So I started there. I wasn't getting paid at the first, but you know, I just built my portfolio. And just before the pandemic last year, I got my first break. Up until then, it was just a time pass thing for me. I just wanted to do something. But since 2020 February, I guess I've been working as an analyst in a company in Latvia. It is a European company. So basically what they do is that they are gathering data and they are selling the data to betting companies or data reserve. Even they are supplying some data to Opta. So I'm just working with them. I am actually quite junior there right now. There are many other people here, but I'm one of the people who joined the company in the earlier stages. So it's special for me.
Okay, so I've also heard from you that you get emails from people so they can bet on the matches. Is it true?
What kind
of email do you get?
Yeah, so basically the company for which I work in Latvia, it's called SEO Brothers. Okay, so they actually started as a website development company, and then they realized the potential of data in today's world. And so now they have built multiple websites. Most of them are betting websites. So in the partners page and everything, my name has been mentioned. My email ID is there. So almost every weekend I get such mails. So I just try to keep it normal, you know, because you know betting is not legal in India. So if someone suspicious message me mailing me or something, so I try to reply.
Oh, wow, that's some good information. We would also like to know, as this is a Chelsea podcast, like before you went into all this you know professional area of analytics and all, how did you become a Chelsea fan at the first place?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I watched my first game in 2006. Okay, so that was the final of the 2006 World Cup in Germany. So my father was stationed there at that point of time for some work purposes, and he went outside the stadium where the final was played, and I was watching it from home and we were talking about it and everything. So that was the first game I watched, and I really liked how Italy played. Since then, after that point of time till 2008, I was not a fan of any club. as such. I just used to watch every game. Kabhi Itna broadcast and all was also not there. Yeah, it was very, and I didn't get that much time due to school and everything. But then I just found that similarities between Chelsea and Italy, you know, both were defensively organized and they used to play from the, they used to play defensively basically, and mostly they were underdogs at that time. In major games, they were underdogs. So at that time, Liverpool were at top, United also. And I have that thing that I always support underdogs. I like the underdog story. So since then, so that way I became a Chelsea fan in 2007-8, I guess. And yeah, since then, I think many ups and downs, ups and up in 2012, then downs, and again 2021.
The story is so much like Mohit. Like Mohit also has a thing of underdogs, don't you?
A bit too much, I guess, for me with the underdog thing, clear underdogs, like I always say, but yeah, it's always good to see an underdog win.
Yeah, so we'll ask Gunjan a lot more questions about football analytics, but let's just for now move into the weekend's game. I'll start off with Karthik. Like Karthik, what is your reaction to that game?
से बोलने को तो मेरे पास बहुत कुछ है यार, बट आई विल जस्ट यू नो स्टे प्रोफेशनल एंड मतलब यू नो ऐसे ज्यादा बोलूंगा नहीं, बट चेल्सी पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू वी वर इनक्रेडिबल. ठीक है, गोइंग डाउन अ मैन एंड इन एनफील्ड, इट शुड बी डिफिकल्ट, बट द वे वी डिफेंडेड वाज जस्ट फैंटास्टिक. एंड क्रेडिट टू पिल, क्रेडिट टू आवर टीम, मेंडी, क्रिस्टेंसन एंड लाइक all of them, you know, they was like so so good. And you know, fir wo decision jab aaya, I was like, matlab, and I know like most of the Chelsea fans, I guess all apna pura base maybe would be saying that what is Anthony Taylor doing, matlab he went to the VAR ka that thing and he didn't even play the video, he just checked the frame and usne decision diya. So that's something, you know, controversial, I feel. And the red card is way too harsh, and Klopp has said that, usne khud ne bola it was harsh, and you could see Mane laughing at that decision and Henderson as well, you know. So I guess, yeah, that was a bit harsh, but other than that, the game was really good. And yeah, credit to our guys.
Yeah, so Gunjan, specifically I would like to ask you, like, how was the defensive performance in the second half, considering we were a man down and, you know, blocking all those set pieces coming in through Liverpool's attack?
I think we parked the bus, and that was obvious. And that was so that was what we were supposed to do. But what I liked was that we still attacked on the counter.
Exactly.
We had a couple of chances, good chances, not just chances.
Yeah.
And that was different from what I saw from the previous season. If we went down to 10 men, we always used to defend, and we never attacked. Okay, we just cleared the ball their half, and then they would press again and everything. But this time we attacked too, so that was special. And coming back to the red card, I think I'm being way too ambitious, but I really think what if Liverpool were 10 men down, what would they do in such situation? I think they would still go for the win. So I think someday I would like to see us still going for it, you know.
We were almost close to winning that. Just if Kovacic had those shooting skills, like that man has everything apart from shooting. Like the chance was so clear cut. Like Lukaku gave the ball to him on the left side and he tried to shoot, but yeah, Alisson was there to protect it. Mohit, your views on that red card and on the VAR call that was made on the pitch side?
Yeah, before that, Gunjan just mentioned if Liverpool would have gone down to 10 men. I'd tell you one thing that would surely happen is the entire media would get mad at that decision, red card, this, that would be all over the place. Like it would have been blown out of proportion because it's Liverpool, media bias, all that stuff. Klopp ka chalu ho jaya tha, excuses in the press conference, whatnot.
Yeah.
And it would still be like, people would be talking about it. But because it's Chelsea, it's like, yeah, okay, it was a red card. You know what? That Michael Owen coming in the studio and saying, yeah, it's clear red, whatnot. And Nobody actually talked about this. Nah, it's a bada issue. So yeah, because it's Chelsea and
Exactly. And
Sorry to interrupt you. At least it's an English player. So people are at least talking a bit. If it was a non-English player, it would have been gone under the sand any time.
Yep.
So true. And as we speak, there are already 60,000 signatures made to remove Anthony Taylor from Chelsea matches. So I just hope that it works. And one more particular thing I would like to say, like the VAR call that was made, though I could agree on the decision of penalty. Like, yeah, it was on the goal line, but a red is too harsh. Like I could not expect a red card from Anthony Taylor just by seeing a frozen image. Like Tuchel also said, like he even accepted the red card, but he did not like the way that the call was made. So do you think that is a crucial point? Like they didn't even try to roll the footage. So is it the problem with the VAR, or is it the problem with the referees, or is it the communication in between them? What do you guys think?
I don't think this one is VAR. VAR obviously has its own fair share of issues, which it has had in the past. But this time, VAR did the right thing. Usko samjha nahi VAR wale ko. He just said, Anthony Taylor, you have a look. And then Anthony Taylor just had a look for 1 second and he made his decision. So that this is everything ever about this is on Anthony Taylor, and him alone should be responsible. No, VAR, I don't think is at fault here.
And Guchan, I think this season specifically, the referees have been told, the VAR and referees have been told to be a little lenient on these, on such calls, you know, and still they have actually just made it so simple to give the red card away. So yeah, it was harsh.
Yeah, so keeping that behind now, let's, you know, just focus on the next coming matches. Like we have a difficult run of fixtures. Like we are having, like it's Villa, then we have Spurs, then we have City. So three important games. Obviously we have lost to Villa the last season, the last game. City is a tough game, and Spurs also have won 3 out of 3. So I hope just that this future run goes smoothly after the international break. And yeah, let's move on to Gunjan again to ask, like, when you make those, like, I have seen many statistics like XG, there are many heat maps. So what is the process that you go? How do you approach those things, and how do you find out the probable, probable effects on the game overall?
Okay, so see, first and foremost, I read this line, which is very true, that data will tell you where to look and not what to do. And this, I think we all need to understand. So XG is not going to help you determine who is going to score or who is going to not score, who is going to save the goal. It's basically more of a recruitment thing, rather than selecting players or anything, because see, it's an uncertain game. I think to an extent even cricket can be predicted, but football, it's almost 90% it's impossible. And coming to the statistics part, XG, nowadays XT has also come. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Something new.
XT has also come. Yeah, it's called expected threat. So if a center back is passing, is involved in a passing sequence towards a goal, so even that pass has been given some metric, which is used to indicate what is the probability that pass, if it's in a sequence, will lead to a goal. Okay, so I think all this is too much complication. Is what I believe. Even if I work on it on a daily basis, but I think if it's for recruitment, it's good. But for performance and everything, it's just a metric now. And I've been fortunate to talk to Mark Carey, who is one of the heads of The Athletic in the football data department. So yeah, we follow each other on Twitter too. I've spoken to him on a couple of times. And he also agrees to it. They use it for recruitment and everything. But judging a player of it is a bit we are actually going reverse. We are going to go into hundreds of X things, and then we are going to return back to the thing that where tactics matter. I feel is the if we want to talk about the future of this industry, we are going to take it to over complication, to XG, XT, XO and everything, and then we'll come back to tactics because that's what matters. And that's where Tuchel capitalized on, right? So if we talk about XG and all the statistics, where were we as a team compared to all those teams we beat in Europe or who didn't make it to the final? But it was purely down to tactics, right?
Yeah.
But you know, talking about recruitment, it's very important. You know, it just gives a very clear look who a club should buy, or if a player suits a club. So, if, for example, Danny Ings may suit Southampton more and not Chelsea. You know, so yeh sab mein it becomes important. Statistics, XG.
Yeah, this was something new to us, wasn't it, Karthik and Mohit? Like, I haven't even heard of this XT. Like, this was something very new to me.
And
it's getting a lot crazier than before. Like, yeah, you find something new, some statistics, but then it goes into something. The overuse of statistics is happening right now. So my question is like, which are those particular is there any group of particular statistics that are beneficial before you play any a big game, or is nothing of it and it just boils down to tactics? Like, what is it?
We do, and if anyone is working in the industry even know this, that if you just consider Chelsea statistics before the next Villa game, it won't matter. But you know, if we boil down to the fact that, for example, Villa is going to play a low block against, just an example, okay? So we need to look at the statistics of Chelsea when they have played the last three games, home, away, neutral, when they are playing a low block team. If you are just considering the last three fixtures and using the statistics or the last 30 fixtures, you know, it's not going to work. You need to be specific. If we are playing against a side who is going to deploy a low block against us, so you can't expect that we will have the same statistics which we will have against Manchester City, and we'll have the same thing against Crystal Palace. You know, it's obvious. So this is something no one does. So everyone expects that if we just go see the statistics on SofaScore or FootMob or anywhere we go, we'll get everyone has that open data. But why still, you know, the betting companies are making millions every year out of the community's money? You know, because 70% of times people lose money in it. Okay. And this is the reason why, because you are not looking at the right places. You're just looking, but you're not looking in the right place. So this one thing is what I have noticed. Many other things,
So it's as you said, it boils down to where to look instead of what to look, right?
Yeah.
So this was something amazing. Karthik, your thoughts on this data, this football world of analytics and statistics?
My thoughts on this is like, yeah, it's like really huge, okay? And whatever Gundan's doing is like a great job. And I know like, bahut tough rahega wo. It's really difficult, you know, stats dekhna and, you know, expected goals and expected assists. And like you said, XT, that's something like, many people you are, you know, this is the first time I'm hearing about it now. Expected threat. And that's something really new. So most of it's like, you know, it's going to be even more difficult with time, you know, or it's going to be even more difficult to, you know, dekhna padega, to observe a lot. And it's a really tough job. And I wanted to ask Gunjan about a question right now, just came to my mind. You said low block teams ke samne, we were talking about that. So I was going to ask you about, you know, Lukaku and Haaland ka comparison. And why do you think that Lukaku suits more for like Chelsea ke liye and not Haaland? Because, you know, we went for Lukaku and, you know, there were certain reasons that we didn't go for Haaland. And Lukaku, why do you think that Lukaku suits more better than Haaland?
I think that this decision of going for Lukaku over Haaland, that was purely financial. because we definitely didn't agree anything with Dortmund over it. But you know, there is a benefit of getting Lukaku, because the fact is that when Lukaku holds up the ball in the final third, if you have observed in both the games that he has played, mostly everything, everyone from the midfield and ahead, the front, everyone runs around him. Okay, and this is what Haaland doesn't have. You know, Haaland wants that final pass. He will take the ball and run. So he will actually render Havertz and Mount useless in some situations. While Lukaku, we can use Lukaku to improve Havertz, Mount, or even Werner. And I was actually going to speak of Werner's situation when we come to the transfers. But, you know, it's really difficult because Werner, if we employ a two-man formation, a two-man striker formation, so that will take some midfield options away from us. But yeah, Lukaku can play in a two-man striker role. And I think Haaland is a more dynamic player. He suits someone who actually suits a team which actually can play a really fast game, while we actually try to make it a more composed game. That's how Tuchel plays. So we will build it slowly. We will attract the opposition to our own half, then just counter very fast. So that's, I think Haaland wouldn't have suited us. You know, this is like a crime that we haven't got him, but still, it's better.
Right.
Yeah, so exactly, like moving on to the season's views, as we said, like tomorrow is the deadline day. The transfer, let's have the transfer talk right now.
As we talk, we have latest from the Athletic on here. Liverpool. Okay. Liverpool in serious talks for Callum Hudson-Odoi.
What?
Liverpool, yes.
Sky Sports also reported it some time ago.
Wow, so that's some breaking news for us.
This is not the Dortmund one. This is Liverpool going in for Hudson-Odoi.
Wow.
And
the Athletic have some serious sources working on, and their team is unbelievable. I've talked to a couple of them, and they have some real sources inside the clubs and everything. If they are reporting it, it's at least 70-80% true.
We are that's an amazing approaching percentage. Deadline day is tomorrow, so
yeah, so let's see. Let's not worry about the latest news, but the news that has been pending from a long time now, Jules Koundé and Saul Niguez. Gunjan, what do you think? How good are these signings if they would happen? And if not, if these transfers don't happen, what are the alternative good options to go on the deadline day?
I think Koundé should come, because now Zuma is gone. Zuma was going to go. It was very obvious. It was coming. But and Koundé, I don't know why we are not agreeing the deal. We have actually net off through the transfers in the profit and loss segment. So you can actually afford to buy. We are not breaking any FFP or anything like City. So we can actually, and Saul, I'm not very, I don't know, I'm not happy with it, because like, for example, Liverpool, see the Harvey Elliott guy, you know, they have a midfield which is right now stable. They have Keita, Thiago, Henderson, Fabinho. So they are building the club on these shoulders, and then they are pushing their academy players. So I think we already have the likes of Gilmore and everyone. I think if we, and there is a buy option I heard in the deal. So why are we pushing for someone who is already a bit more older thing? And I don't think he gets in our midfield. Okay, yeah. I think if we get injuries only, then he will start or something.
That's a rumor of loan. So we'll have to see to it. And I even read something about Koundé, and even as my brother said earlier, like Tuchel looks forward to the players who can read the game, who can understand the game. So you can see, like, Zuma doesn't have the capability to read the game that good. Whereas Christensen, players like Christensen, Thiago Silva, Rudiger, you can see they can read the game properly. Kovacic, Jorginho, all these are game readers. So Tuchel kind of tends to play those kind of players rather than have some stoppers in the game. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, is Tuchel really in that mindset right now?
I think, yeah, the main thing is, I think he's trying to replace Thiago Silva because I don't think he will stay further than the coming season. And Zuma is gone. So we are actually lacking some options. If there are cup games now, and the Club World Cup is also coming now, so we are going to have a lot of fatigue and injuries. So, and about reading the game, I think at this stage, if Chelsea is going to go for any defender, he's definitely going to be someone who reads the game well. So that is one of the parameters of signing a defender. So it doesn't make Koundé that a better prospect than other defenders. It's just a part of his game. But I think the way Koundé can progress the ball by his passing and even by carrying it, I think that's what makes. So if we go back to last season, the last part of the last season, we saw that Aspi and Reece both were overlapping. You know, Aspi as a centre back was sometimes going ahead, so Reece was staying back. I think this is what Koundé adds to the game. He's very, very confident going ahead. He can pass the ball. He can even cross the ball really well. So I think more than reading the game, I think reading the game comes as a natural thing. That if a defender doesn't have it at this point in his career, then he might not be playing for that. More than reading the game, I think it's about ball progression, because right now we are not progressing the ball that well to our defense. So for example, we saw a good example of Van Dijk on the weekend. So you know, Mount was not even pressing him at one point. He's just so confident in the ball. We need some confident men there, and Koundé is really confident, but as far as I've seen of him.
True And one player I would like to mention, like I read reports that he is not going to be loaned this season, is Ethan Ampadu. So Mohit, what do you think? Like, would he fit into this team if, you know, Saul Niguez or any other player doesn't come in? Or like, what are your thoughts on him playing in the as a backup pivot in this season?
Yeah, he's definitely not a bad backup. He can do a job. And that's what we'll require, as long as our players don't get injured. Kante, Jorginho, Kovacic. By the way, a bit of a shout out to Jorginho for UEFA Player of the Year. Who would have thought? Jorginho. And also the others, Mendy, Kante for winning the awards, and Thomas Tuchel winning Manager of the Year. So, small shout out to that as well.
Yeah. Just the last one remains, and that is the Ballon d'Or. He hope he wins that as well. So yeah, Gunjan, your thoughts on
we'll see. I mean, if he's not going on loan, so kuch to plan hoga ki usko khilayenge. Past few seasons he hasn't played much for Leipzig. He didn't play at all, and he played for Wales in the Euro, so that is good. Okay, at least he's playing for the national team. And as a backup, we will see. Because the Ampadu that was there at Chelsea was, you know, Sarri ke time mein. So it's been a while. So we'll see how he does. And it's interesting.
Yeah. And Gunjan, your thoughts? Because the season he had with Sheffield United.
Sheffield United spell was also decent. Because, you know, the whole team was also only underperforming Sheffield.
Yeah,
exactly. So that we cannot count it. But Ampadu, I don't think he'll be favored by Tuchel, you know, for Club World Cup initial stages or cup games, okay. But, you know, we can't count on him, in my opinion, you know.
True.
I was wrong about Jorginho too. Half of the world was wrong about Jorginho. So, I hope I'm wrong about him, but I don't think.
And Mohit weren't from the start.
About Jorginho, no, even I was at, you know, Lampard, it was a 1920 season, right? Yeah, that season I was. But about Jorginho, we have to say this guy here, we have Ruturaj. This guy, you have to give him credit. Proper Jorginho style. Day dot se even Sabo ekdam bhi Jorginho ekdam ganda khelta na. Even tabhi se like Jorginho is, you know, he used to back this guy, and I have no words how happy he must be when Jorginho won that award.
Yeah, I was on cloud nine. To be honest, like, because you see, he's a very smart and a brilliant person. He knows when to go down on the pitch. He knows how to waste time. He knows how to play those balls tactically as well. So overall, he's a a great player, and they talk of his interception. He's okay, he's slow, he cannot run. They say they, but he, the kinds of balls he intercepts, like, it is very rare in football to watch these kinds of interception. The last I saw such a player with some pace was Busquets. But yeah, his prime has been passed, and now we have Jorginho. Like, he's the proper midfield conductor. Like, is my opinion, to be honest.
Yeah, put some respect on Jorginho's name. Most interceptions plus tackles in the Champions League last season. Most interceptions in the Euros as well. So he's not only a passing.
Plus the ice cold penalties that come through. Yeah, with him.
He's not a sideways passing merchant, as some call it. Definitely not.
Okay, so one interesting question I would like to ask Gunjan. If you had one player, like, I know his favorite player is Thiago from Liverpool. If you were asked to pick between Thiago and Jorginho, who would you pick and why?
This is a Chelsea podcast. I can't go against my player. So, I won't answer this. You know why, but the breed of Jorginho type players was dying, actually. You know, Busquets was also, Busquets and Jorginho are quite different, to be very honest. They are not similar, to be frank. So Jorginho is a proper register who actually controls the tempo of the game, you know. And nowadays such players are not in the modern game, such players are not favored. Everyone wants to just attack, press and everything, so controlling the tempo is the last part of it. But you know, to do that, to win the Champions League, to win the Euro, a lot of the credit goes to Mancini and Tuchel, you know, because they actually set up their team in such a way that this player becomes important. And the way he has become important, you know, he has showed it to the entire Europe, to the entire world, that yes, when the game is played his way, you cannot, no one can do it better than him. You know, I don't think at this moment, in as far as the controlling the tempo thing goes, I don't think anyone is better than him, even Thiago. So for that aspect, you know, you're god of it.
Yeah, so yeah, let's hear you say Jorginho for Ballon d'Or 2.
I don't think that's messy, but still.
Okay, just last final topic before we move on. After the international break, we've got a great run of fixtures. We have got important run of fixtures. I would like to hear from Karthik, like, how important are these starting runoff fixtures? Like, we have till City, these games might be season defining for us. So what are your thoughts on this?
Next three fixtures, I guess, Aston Villa, then we have, uske baad we have Champions League ka fixture, I guess.
Yeah.
After Villa, if I'm not wrong, against Zenit, na? So it's really important, and that's when our squad depth comes in, and we have a good squad depth. So, वैसे injuries and all नहीं हुए तो we might be lucky for the Tottenham and फिर City game, and then फिर Tottenham के बीच में we have Aston Villa again. कुछ तो EFL Cup का third round, so that's 21st September. Yeah, so ऐसे games तो बहुत सारे हैं, we have to play, like Gunjan said, the Club World Cup भी आएगा, तो our squad depth will come into play, and that's really crucial part. But well, according to me, after the City game, फिर in the Prem, at least we have a run of easy fixtures, I would say. But again, Premier League, you never know what comes, and you know, you never know. Like last season, West Brom beat us. So that too twice. So I'm not going to say like bahut easy rahega, but yeah, it's much easier than the fixtures that we had played in the past 6 game weeks. So after the 6 game week, it's easy. And yeah, the Champions League, we have Juventus. So that's also an important game to look forward to, and not an easy opponent, but yeah. So it's going to be really, you know, and like, we're going to enjoy watching Chelsea playing Juventus and City, Aston Villa and all. So let's hope for the best, and let's hope that we do well.
Yeah. In continuation to that, Gunjan, like, what is rotation going to be the key for this time, the fixture crunch that is going to come to us in in a month or two. Like, will Tuchel rotate the squad that much, or will he, you know, just change, they change, chop and change two or three players and then continue with the lineup?
I think, yes, of course, he will have to change. But the fact is that I'm not confident about our team scoring a lot of chances when it comes to our squad players. You know, when we rotate our squad, we defend really well because that's how Tuchel has built the squad. But I'm not very comfortable when it comes to going ahead, scoring. So our first team ke alawa, we don't have such players who can really win games single-handedly. So, you know, when we are talking about, so for example, Aston Villa home in Carabao Cup, that is between Tottenham and City. And after City, we are playing Juventus away. So definitely Aston Villa mein, against, we are going to rest players. I don't think we have enough. So if they play their first team or anything, I don't think we have enough of quality. So now Werner is going to be a sort of a second team player right now. So that is okay, but I don't know. It is going to be tough. You know, we needed some good squad depth is there, but for winning games, I don't know. You can just squeeze out the game somehow, but winning games is a little bit tough. This is a tough month there, September. We are going to play 5 games in the space of 12 days.
Wow. So that's something very shocking to us. But yeah.
And Liverpool were crying last time around during the Club World Cup and everything. They were playing easy fixtures also, but they were complaining about it. We have a tough round of fixtures and a lot of them. This
face of yeah, it's just the agenda, as we can say, like match to match. So yeah, this was the podcast for the today. We had Gunjan. Thank you for coming on this podcast. You know, letting us know a lot of the world behind football analytics and statistics. How was your experience with this?
I think it's really good, right? I really enjoyed the podcast. You know, I also learned a lot of things. I didn't know that we were playing a few clubs, the round of fixtures we talked about right now. So it's always a learning experience. Because, you know, when I'm working on some specific clubs, I just ignore the other leagues. And so when we all of us talk, we learn a lot. So it was a great learning thing. Thanks.
Yeah, sure thing.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Sir, it was great to learn football statistics. X, all X, sirf XG nahi, XT, what not expected bet. I'm sure Timo Werner will be number one in that.
The Athletic article on XT.
Yep.
XT, I'll forward you.
Sure, and I feel that Timo Werner, though XG, maybe he would be top 5.
No, it's, I think. I think Kevin De Bruyne is there, even top, and that is obvious, but
yeah.
It's very complicated. I hope it doesn't come to the. So now Sky Sports is taking over the XG and everything. They are displaying it during the games and during the halftime talk and everything. I hope that doesn't come XG at all.
Yes. This is a big world of football analytics, and we surely would love to have you again on future episodes, and love to understand like we would love to delve into the world of football analytics. So thank you, Gunjan, for coming on. It was really a pleasure.
My pleasure.
One of the biggest guests for our podcast right now. And thank you for joining in. And guys, see you in another episode. You can check the links in the description. You can find us on Instagram as Chelsea Thane Blues, on Twitter as Thane Blues. And if you would like to become a member, it's free. Like, you could just go onto the Fifth Sun app and you can message the contact number registered on the website. It's as easy as that. And yes, we'll again find you in another episode with our Mohit, the man. Karthik, thank you for being here.
And before we leave, small announcement. Also, a big thanks to every one of you. Also, a huge thanks to our members. Do check out the latest episode of Certified Chelsea. you'd find some familiar faces. You'll know who the guests are, and, along with Anand Tyagi sir, who's a legend. So check the latest episode out. It is already on Disney Plus Hotstar, so free. Dekh lo, you'll know who are there. Spoiler alert, Chelsea Thane Blues are there.
So yeah, I hope we find you in another episode. Goodbye, take care, peace.